Hey, Unnecessary Roughness listeners, you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
This episode is brought to you by Body Armor Zero Sugar. The brand new zero sugar sports drink from our friends at Body Armor provides real hydration with no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. And whether you're looking to stay hydrated or recovering from a long weekend, Body Armor Zero Sugar has got you covered with great tasting flavors like fruit punch and lemon lime. Available in stores nationwide, head on over to Body Armor Store on Amazon and get yours today. This episode is brought to you by Body Armor Zero Sugar. The brand new zero sugar sports drink from our friends at Body Armor provides real hydration with no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. And whether you're looking to stay hydrated or recovering from a long weekend, Body Armor Zero Sugar has got you covered with great tasting flavors like fruit punch and lemon lime. Available in stores nationwide, head on over to Body Armor Store on Amazon and get yours today.
The kids are playing their tail off and the coaches are screwing it up.
And they run through our ass like shit through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
We failed to make our coaching points and our points more compelling than their fat little girlfriends.
Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats. We need more dogs.
Hi, welcome to Unnecessary Roughness, Barstool's college football podcast, brought to you by...
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
I might speak exclusively in Christmas Vacation quotes today if you guys don't mind.
Oh, I don't mind at all. That's by far the best Christmas movie of all time. I don't give a shit what anybody else says.
So we'll see. We'll see. I don't know. Depends on how it goes. Depends on how it goes. Every time my wife revs up the microwave, I piss my pants and forget who I was for 30 minutes or so. So it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Everybody good? How's everybody doing?
Fine.
Good.
Fine. I mean,
Christmas. Kiss my ass. Kiss his ass. Kiss your ass.
Kiss your ass. Happy Hanukkah.
Okay. So signing day was yesterday.
Yes, it was. Sir.
You happy?
I'm very happy. I mean, I know it's the early signing day. And so like when I was, you know, trumpeting on social media and doing a little bit of trolling, I was reminded that there is another one in February, which we talked about last episode. I don't give a lovely motherfuck.
Well, let me stop you right there. I don't know why we still call it early signing day. It's signing day.
Yeah. No, like it was like, you know, the FYI, it's still not done. And I was like, I don't give a shit. Like, first of all, I will take a number one anything at any time for A&M. Number two, this recruiting class, when you look at it, it's not just like, oh, it's potentially number one because there's a lot of five stars that aren't signed. Like, this is the best recruiting class by far A&M has ever had. And not only did Jimbo recruit well in Texas, the biggest part is that he was recruiting top 100 guys outside of the state of Texas, like all over the country. And that's new for A&M. You know, you normally have like some guys from different states. He got so many guys, and Billy Lucci from Texags is saying that he believes that of the 7 5-stars left unsigned, 4 of them could potentially end up in College Station. That's crazy to think about.
As an outsider, there are two elements to this. Number one is, wow, number one class. You're not going to compete for a national title if you don't have a top 5 class pretty much year in, year out. I think we've proven that. You know, I guess Cincinnati could be a team that could upset that apple cart. But certainly the elite of the elite of the elite of the elite college football recruit at that level. And that's what A&M kind of vaulted itself into this year. Second part is, boy, all those 4 and 5 stars and top 100 players just signed up to go 8-4 every year for Texas A&M.
See, why do you have to do that? If Mississippi State had a number one overall class, I would not have done that to you.
Yes, you would have. I would hope you would.
No, I wouldn't, because here's the thing. Now, A&M obviously disappointed this year. We talked about that. You know, they went 9-1 in 2020, number five team in the country. Fine, whatever. They definitely disappointed. You also have to look at what happened at quarterback which was huge for A&M. And, you know, again, credit to Zach Calzada. I wish him the best. He's in the transfer portal. Great. He beat Alabama. But there were a lot of holes in on that team for Jimbo. Now, these are Jimbo's guys. And the biggest thing is this defense that he recruited is ridiculous. And they already have a five-star quarterback coming in Connor Wigman. So it's like – or Connor Wigman. I can't ever say it right. Connor Wigman. So – I don't know why I would sit here and be like, well, they're going to go 8-4 when they were going 8-4 with a way shittier team than they're going to have next year. And on top of that, Jimbo can now go into living rooms and say, hey, we know, because it's out there, LSU offered him $13 million a year to coach. And he said, nah, I'm staying. That's why that defense is still there, even though Mike Elko left. So I'm not going to poo-poo this whole, oh, you get all the 4 and 5 stars to go 8-4. When this is the best class in A&M history, and it's one of the best classes we've seen in a long time from a standpoint of, I mean, I don't, it could even be like just the way that they are getting these guys without a defensive coordinator. I mean, that's crazy.
So you're right. It was probably not fair of me to say.
No, it was mean and it was hateful and it was vindictive and I would never do that to you.
Well, let me re-say it then. It's possible that the Texas A&M are getting all these guys, these 4 and 5 star guys, to go 8-4 or maybe even 7-5.
Jack, I mean, this is just.
Also, this class, I was like, Billy Lucci's right. I mean, I had no reason to think he wasn't, but I'm looking at it right now. It can only really get better. I mean, I guess the number two player in the country right now, Walter Nolan, could potentially take away. He didn't sign yesterday. He could go to Tennessee or somewhere else. But then you have the number five player who's projected to go to A&M, number nine, and then number 17. Those are all 5 stars. So this class, I think, has the potential to be the best class ever from 24/7 Sports composite rankings, which is, I mean, nothing short of impressive.
Right. And not just like A&M. Like, it's up there when you look at the amount of 5 stars.
Oh, no, no. I mean, like, ever. Like, ever. In the history of recruiting.
Right. Like, ever.
If they keep Walter Nolan – and then get those three other guys I just mentioned, which the crystal ball on 24/7 right now, which is a pretty good indicative of where they'll end up going. Obviously, no one had Travis Hunter going to Jackson State, but that's a, you know, that's a example we'll get there. But if they get those five guys, I think it has the potential to be the best class ever. I could be wrong, though, but in the history of college football.
That's fine. It is a great class. It's Jimbo, you know, kind of stamping his putting his stamp. He's been a great recruiter for his entire career, but now he's like up there with Kirby Smart and Nick Saban this year as far as getting a great class. However, there's an element here that I'm actually for. A&M, I don't care about A&M. I don't care if y'all go 12-0, 6-0. What doesn't matter to me? Because it's your nice team.
Why?
No, I'm just saying, I don't care what they do. I'm setting something up. This isn't all about us. What I'm saying is, it is nice to see a new team in that number one spot other than Georgia or Alabama. Last 10 years, it's been Georgia or Alabama number one every single year. Every single year, it's been Georgia or Alabama. So it's nice to see somebody new. And not only that, NIL and the transfer portal is changing things slowly but surely, actually very fast. But the top four recruits in the country, do you know where they went?
Jackson State.
Texas A&M, he's not signed yet, but he's committed. Missouri. Do you know the fourth one, Katie?
UNC.
Well, you should.
Oh, shit.
The top four guys go to Jackson State, Texas A&M, Missouri, and North Carolina. And even if Nolan flips to Tennessee, that's still Tennessee, so that's still different. I mean, you look at the top 10, you don't see an Alabama until you get to 8. You don't see a Georgia or an Ohio State until you get to 12. You don't see a Georgia until 14. So, like, I feel like the NIL is starting to open things up, whereas when we're going to have this expanded playoffs, we're going to have a lot better teams across the board instead of just Georgia, Ohio State, and Alabama being great.
Get to the Travis Hunter stuff in a little bit, but that'll show you that it's not just slowly but surely changing. I mean, it's changing things in a hurry. But my favorite thing, and I know, like, and people that are listening to this that always get salty about, like, oh, it's not a Mississippi State and A&M podcast. Well, suck my dick today, because guess what? A&M's the number one class, so I'm going to talk about it. But Jimbo Fisher said it perfectly on your favorite person's show, Brandon, Paul Feinbaum. He said, you know, the NIL stuff has been going on for a long time. It just wasn't legal. I love that he said afterwards, like, well, I haven't been doing it. You know, it was kind of like a, well, I'm innocent of it. But the people that have, were crying yesterday about all these different teams getting these different deals and, you know, talking about Quinn Ewers, like how much Texas had to pay to get him so he didn't go to Texas Tech and like all this stuff. It's like, do you guys not understand that this has been going on? No one could legally talk about it. Like, it is different with the transfer portal, and I understand that. But the NIL now being legal, teams are going to start shifting at the top. Just like you just said, they are. It's just a simple fact. Yeah. And people have to get used to it. Like, college football is not ruined. There's going to be more parity now.
No, I think it's opened up. I think it's a more, it's going to be a more even playing field. And the thing about Jimbo saying that on Feinbaum, I really kind of don't like it. Like, it's funny to hear a coach come out and say, oh, it's been happening for a long time. Yeah. And kind of tongue in cheek and all that stuff. Like, yeah, like 5 years ago it was happening and Jimbo, you were doing it and you were cheating. Like you were. And
everybody was,
but wink, wink, nod, nod. Now he comes out and says it. Like, none of you were like actually saying, none of you were advocating for the players back then that you should be able to do it above. No. Board. You were hiding it. So
there is that difference too, where it's like you weren't advocating for the players to get paid, but you were still doing it. So there is that level, but it's right. Kind of like, and again, folks, I'm going to bring up Johnny Manziel, but it's like when Johnny did this podcast, Jack, you remember he said he was like, cause I mean, it's, you know, he can't get in trouble now. He was like, hey, at NCAA straight cash, homie. Like he was like, you can't come get me cause you couldn't prove it. Like this has been going on. And now people are coming out and saying it. I liked that Jimbo said it. I would have liked if any coach said it, because it's just the amount of crying on Twitter yesterday about any recruit. I'm not talking about just Jackson State or A&M or Texas or whoever it was. The amount of crying I saw on social media about how college football is ruined because of the NIL was disgusting. It was like, are you serious? Come on.
So, signing day is a marquee day in college football because, one, it's the future of your program. You're signing the next guys. But number two, it's just one of those enlightening days on the internet where you can just look at folks embarrass themselves and say the dumbest things. And I'm going to say it now. It's this podcast's official position that if you tweet at, message, DM a 17 or 18-year-old kid angrily or even happily, even if they sign with you and you tweet at them happily, reevaluate your life and promptly, and I mean as quickly as you can, go fuck yourself. Because grown adults, listen, I am happy players chose my school. You're happy players chose your school, but they chose your school. Now they play for your school. You don't have to DM them and saying, oh, you're scared of competition because you went somewhere else. Adults caring this much about recruiting to where they will tweet a child, frankly, is disgusting.
Well, it's not frankly a child. It is. And yes, I understand, you know, it's like they're about to be in college, but you know, again, like I have said a million times, like I'm not a huge recruiting person. I know that it matters. I'm going to be a much bigger recruiting person this year because when A&M has a number one recruiting class, you're going to hear me talking about it a lot more because I want to be number one at something. But like, I can't imagine yesterday, and I know I work in a different field, but I can't imagine like tweeting at like Anaya White and being like, thank you so much for signing with A&M and putting us over Alabama. Like, I can't imagine doing that. Vice versa, like the stuff that happened with Travis Hunter yesterday, like all these grown ass men so pissed off. Now I will say, Brandon, I will say that is our official stance, but Twitter spaces yesterday, yeah, I could not get enough of like, it wasn't necessarily the grown men tweeting and like trying to contact the kids. I think that's disgusting and you should reevaluate your life. I think I was the most entertained on social media without having to be involved in it than I've ever been yesterday.
We're going to get to Travis Hunter, Dion, and have you had your meeting with Dave yet? Dave had a meeting with me and he took away 20% of my salary to pay for Travis Hunter's NIL deal for the $1.5 million deal.
I didn't know where you were going with that, so I was just going to let you go.
Yeah, my kids aren't going to be able to have shoes next year because Travis Hunter has to have. We're going to get to Florida State. I got a whole bunch to say.
I'm so excited. But I mean, and we can, you know, move on from the A&M stuff, but from just the overall landscape, like you just said, those top four players. And then you look at even like the top 10 SEC classes. I mean, Tennessee, as of yesterday, I could be wrong, Katie or Jack, you can double check. I think Tennessee had the 10th best class in the SEC.
That's
in Missouri. Was up there too.
That's where me and Jack get into our recruiting disagreements. That's where, because I believe come hell or high water, Tennessee's always going to have their rankings massaged to where they get up to the top 10, Auburn as well, and others.
No, I'm saying they're top 10 wrong. In the SEC.
They're 10th in the
SEC.
Oh, I know. Okay. That's the point you were making. I'm sorry.
I'm saying like,
but then why wouldn't the sites massage the backs of the Tennessee?
Wait, they're 14th in the country. How are they 10th in the SEC?
Why is Mizzou higher than Tennessee? Tennessee has more subscribers on their 24/7.
I understand, but hold on.
It doesn't add up to me.
There's six.
There's a disconnect in the numbers here because they're 14th in 24/7's team rankings right now.
Yeah, they have A&M, Alabama, Georgia, Kentucky, Mizzou above them.
See, yeah. I got a tweet like an hour ago
there was a network graphic on SEC Network that yes. had Tennessee as 10th. Maybe yes. they're using the ESPN 300.
If they're using the ESPN, then throw that out completely. ESPN's got like two guys covering recruiting, which is fine. You know, you can use whatever.
And those are the two That's guys it was. That it was SEC called Network. The game. They called the game for Bishop Sycamore and didn't really question it until like the middle of the game.
Rivals still has some merit. 24/7 has a lot of merit, and Own3 Sports will have merit very, very soon if they don't have it yet. But ESPN, when it comes to recruiting,
well 24/7 Sports Composite is a combination of all of them, so that's probably the best one to look at.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Yeah, so I am looking at that. And it is, you see the usual suspects. Notre Dame holding strong at 7 with a coaching change is impressive. Oklahoma did the same at number 10. And then there's Kentucky and Mizzou. They both got a 5-star.
Well, for Notre Dame, they essentially hired he's a good defensive coordinator, but they essentially hired a coach to save their recruiting class. We're going to see if that was the right decision. We'll see with Marcus Freeman. It seems like everyone's just accepting that this 35-year-old is going to walk in there and be phenomenal. We'll see. The players like him, but.
But I do think that with like a lot of the changes, I mean, obviously Nick Saban is still at Alabama, Ryan Day is still at Ohio State, you know, Jim Harbaugh, you go down the list, but you also look at like the changes at LSU, the changes at Notre Dame, the changes at Oklahoma, and in Texas being as bad as they were, I think that's another reason why Jimbo was able to get that class is because he was like, hey, I stayed when all these other schools are kind of like, you know, that are around or like, well, you know, still in limbo. Like you don't know what's going to happen. But I think that just in general, the bigger picture is that the NIL and the ability for these schools that have money or have power are going to be able to do this, that it is going to change Alabama and Georgia being number one and number two every year.
Okay. So one more thing before we get to Travis Hunter and Dion and that incredible story. I think the rankings yesterday will mean less than they've ever meant. And this is not a shot at A&M. This is a talk about college football. So A&M is going to be fine because the class they got will be elite. It's going to be great. Don't worry about A&M. I'm not talking about them. But the rankings yesterday will matter less because now we're at a higher rate of transfers than we've ever had. Like 30% of the guys that signed yesterday, that's the number we believe. 30% of the guys that signed yesterday will not finish their career with the team they signed with yesterday. So that's 30%, that's a whole lot of players. And we got guys out there like Texas has the number 5 recruiting class in the country, right? Well, they're also getting a 5-star quarterback transfer, you know, UCLA, whatever the class is. They're also getting Dylan Gabriel, we just found out. Like the transfer portal is bringing so much more to your team that the number yesterday is going to either go up, maybe go down, depending on what you lose. But the transfer portal plays just as big a role as what happened yesterday.
Well, the 24/7 Sports is combining it in the in there. If you go to their page where you see the team rankings, there's a little tab at the top. You can see transfer rankings and then also overall. So that's probably better to look at that. Yeah,
it is better. But what that means is the number yesterday is not locked in. Usually it is locked in. Now it's not locked in.
No. And I mean, like I even said this yesterday, you know, Katie and I were texting back and forth about, you know, when I could start like trolling on Twitter about A&M being number one. And she was like, you know, maybe wait until signing day is over. And I was like, we don't, it could change no matter what. And it, I mean, it could change at any given point, depending on who these guys get. I don't remember the exact breakdown of what Deion said on the Pro Football Football show that's coming out on Sunday, but he broke it down by percentage of what they're looking at when they're recruiting right now. And actual high school recruits is so much lower than I expected. I want to say he said like 30% because right now.
Yeah, but his is like so much different because of he's like Transfer U now. That's a lot of FCS schools.
But it's like it's the transfer. I mean, yes, but I'm saying like, but just even the fact that that's like a conversation that's being had out loud. And then you look at all the big name quarterbacks that are in the transfer portal that are now on a different team that we thought would be the top quarterbacks in the country last year, like Spencer Rattler, like that. It is just, it's a crazy thing to think about. Zach Calzada beats Alabama. See ya. It's just Brandon's right. Like you're 100% right. These guys are not going to finish. A lot of these guys are not going to finish where they started. But if they're happy there, then they are going to. I mean, that's just.
All right. So Deion Sanders yesterday pulls off the coup of all coups.
Can I ask you a quick question, Brandon?
Yes.
Who do you think had what was the biggest pickup yesterday? I want to see if you have the same answer as me.
You don't. Outside of Deion, I assume.
No, this is bigger because we won't really care about Deion. Like we will, but it won't affect the landscape that much.
Just one guy. The biggest pickup yesterday. I'm trying to see if you would ask me my opinion, I would try to give it to you. But now I'm trying to guess your opinion. Who is it?
I think Alabama picking up Eli Ricks.
That's a transfer. That's different than
Biggest pickup. We were just talking about transfers. Oh, I think that was biggest pickup of National Signing Day because he's defensive back. I mean, and now everything's looking. That's going to be massive for them. But yeah, we can go to Deion now.
Well, that's why I said like from a semantic standpoint, like Jack, I agree with you saying like that's like the most impactful one. I think from an overall college football standpoint, that Travis Hunter was the biggest pickup because of how it happened and what it means if the number one overall recruit in the country goes to an FCS school.
What about the biggest pickup in Quinn Ewers?
Yeah, okay. We're going to get to all of this. But he's right. As far as what happens on the field next year, Eli Ricks is probably the biggest pickup. But from a perception standpoint, what happened yesterday, not only to Jackson State, but what happened to Florida State is huge. What happened with Deion Sanders is huge. I don't think it's going to have the long-term ramifications we believe that it might, but it is a great story. So, Travis Hunter, the number one player out of Sewanee, Georgia. He is a defensive back / receiver. He's kind of like a carbon copy of Deion Sanders, if we're being honest. He's a lockdown corner, and he can play receiver, and he can do the returns. And he was committed to Florida State forever. Woke up on signing.
God, imagine having children.
Woke up on signing day and shocked the world when he indeed signed with Jackson State, an FCS school, an HBCU, and not Florida State. Let's attack this one by one. First, we go with what it means for Deion Sanders and Jackson State. To me, and this is probably not the reaction a lot of people want, I don't think it means that much for Jackson State. I think it means a whole hell of a lot for Deion Sanders. What it means for Deion Sanders is he's about to enter his last season as Jackson State's head coach. He's about to enter his last season as an FCS head coach. It sounds great that the Travis Hunter chose an HBCU, and it sounds all great, and I understand the social ramifications of that. But when Deion interviewed with Florida State, they didn't think he had the experience. When Deion interviewed with other teams, they didn't think he had the experience. Well, now what has he proven? He's proven at Jackson State, an FCS school, he can go get the players. And that is what college football is about. He can go get the players. When the coaching carousel comes open next year, it will be a sprint to see who can hire Deion
Sanders. And not only did he prove that, he's now a two-time coach of the year in where he is, which the whole thing with Florida State, and I loved the Florida State meltdown yesterday when it was like, hey guys, like he wanted to coach at Florida State and you guys told him to kick rocks. And now it's like, well, we didn't know he had experience. My biggest thing is like, he might not have, he didn't have the coaching experience at the college level. Fine. But no one can sit and tell me that Deion Sanders, who before he even started working at Barstool, before I had a single conversation with him, that is as charismatic as he is and as authentic as he is and the greatest of all time at what he does. And he was the alumni and he played there and he's a legend there, wouldn't have been able to sit in living rooms of high school kids and get them to come to Florida State. That argument makes no fucking sense to me. That's what I mean. And people were saying that yesterday, like, okay, if you didn't think Deion Sanders could recruit, you're an idiot.
Yeah. Well, I go back 2 years. I don't blame Florida State for not hiring him 2 years ago. He didn't have experience. And it's hard to give a guy a head job at a top 15 university, the job without experience. Now, this year when Mike Norvell struggled again and he's 8-13 in 2 years, would you start thinking about, would you at least start calling Deion saying, hey, we're going to be our guy next time around? Would you at least start doing it? No, they didn't do that. They decided to go with a mediocre coach. They decided to go and sign a day with a mediocre coach. And listen, Deion Sanders owes Florida State not one goddamn thing, nothing. His job is to go out and get players. So I understand he played at Florida State. And you could, if you want to give him the kingdom next time, you better hurry up and do it because
he, well, again, and like, you know, and things always change, but like, you know, I have a pretty good relationship with Deion and he said it both on and off air. He will not ever take the Florida State job because of the way he said that it was handled. Now, again, I don't know, you know, I'm sure that there's those things could change, but the way that he has portrayed it and he has said it flat out on the Pro Football Football show that they burned him so bad in that process if they came to him now, he would not take it. Money speaks. I get that. But it's not lost on anybody that this kid that Travis Hunter connecting to Florida State and Deion, like there's definitely bad blood there. There has to be and Florida State fans are losing their fucking minds. It's like, well, Florida State didn't want Deion. Okay, fine. Don't give him the head coaching spot. Put him on the staff. Give him a coordinator spot. Get him something and then make him the head coach. Instead, you extended Mike Norvell a day before signing day and Deion stealing the number one guy from you?
So, next coaching carousel. The interesting thing about what Deion's doing is when you go to hire a coach next year, and this is going to be not just him, even though he's the best example, there's a very good chance when you hire Deion next year, you're getting Travis Hunter. You're getting other 4- and 5-star. You might be hiring a coach and 10 players from now on. That might be the new reality of this world that we are living in. And this is the best example because he's an FCS school. And if Deion leaves, what's tying Travis Hunter to the FCS school? Nothing. Nothing. Deion's about to put himself in the most lucrative package deal we've ever seen.
And he just happens to work for Barstool Sports. Isn't that amazing? What a world.
Yeah, he won't, which I don't know, maybe we'll figure it out, but he won't much longer. This guy's going to be,
this guy's going to be
the coach of a major, and I'm talking about a top 20 program.
No. And the clip, you know, we put it out all over social media and obviously like it'll be in the show too, but I mean, everybody was putting it, you know, we taped the Pro Football Show on Tuesday. And he said, he was like, we're going to shock the world. He obviously was talking about Travis Hunter, but Dave was talking about like, when you get a massive Division I job, it is when, and you know, Deion just kind of smirked at it, but it's like, he's calling his shots to the point where it's like, he's shaking up the entire landscape. Like, right. At the end of the day on the field, Travis Hunter being at Jackson State, not that big of a deal. What Deion did yesterday and the just absolute chaos and meltdown that he created is a massive story, because now it's like, if you have a coach that has pull and you have a coach that as a pro athlete has the swag and has the legendary status that he does, you put him at a smaller school and you can pay these kids, that changes a lot of different things.
Let me kind of fix something you said there, which was a derivative of something I said. When I said I don't believe Travis Hunter signing when the HBCU is as big of a deal as we're making it, if Deion were to stay 4 years, 5 years, yes, 6 years, 10 years, and Travis Hunter plays out 4 years, that's a massive deal. That's a huge deal.
Right.
Gigantic deal. I was just kind of going by the assumption, I think somebody's going to go get Deion next year. But if in fact this is a switch, if the number one player in the country has gone to an HBCU and that's going to lead to more, I mean, that's a gigantic shift in what would happen. I mean, I assume now that the executives at ESPN or ESPN2, well, I guess they're all ESPN, but the executives at ESPN and Fox are sitting there saying, you know what, we got to make room for a Jackson State Grambling game next year. Maybe they wouldn't have done so beforehand.
Right. Well, I mean, and you look at even just this weekend. I mean, they're playing in the Celebration Bowl on ABC in a sold out Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Like, that is crazy to think about. They're playing South Carolina State. And I know that everybody that's listening to this is like, oh, you know, you guys love Deion. And like, I do, I love Deion as a friend, but I'm also saying, like, as a coach in this game, like, you're selling out Mercedes-Benz for a bowl game as a SWAC team. Like, that is an insane change in landscape, which is why I do tend to agree with you that he is going to go to the Division One, just because that would make sense. If he doesn't and he stays and you get like top 10 draft picks coming out of schools like Jackson State, that's going to be wild.
And even if Deion were to leave next year, which whatever, we're kind of just putting the cart before the horse here. Even if he were to leave and say players left with him, the mark he's made on FCS football, SWAC football already is that other teams are following this example. Grambling just hired Hugh Jackson from the NFL. Tennessee State hired Eddie George. Like, the path Deion is blazing here is being repeated, and it's going to start, you know, what happens when Eddie George gets maybe not number one guy, but he gets a top 30 guy. And then somebody hires, I'm just using a name, I have no idea if he would ever, like, if somebody hires Warrick Dunn, or if somebody hires, like, it's just going to keep going and going and going, and slowly but surely you're going to see this shift where it's a real issue. Not an issue, but it's really something to watch.
Well, and that's why I said earlier when I was talking about Florida State not hiring him based on experience, fine, you can make that argument. But, I mean, it has been for a long time that if you get the coordinators underneath you to be, like, the coaches of it, and you can go, like, I know in retrospect that, like, it's easy to say now because what we're seeing Deion do, but it's just, to me, it's like you go get a flashy, 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 iconic, legendary NFL player and put them in kids' living rooms, and no matter where they're coaching, you can't tell me that they're not going to impress those kids. And so that's why I think Florida State, and there were some, like, pretty rational, very small amount, pretty rational Florida State fans yesterday. They were like, yeah, like, we should have probably hired him or at least put him on staff a couple years ago, because he obviously was going to be able to recruit, and then he could have probably built a staff around him, and then he could have had this experience. Who knows? Like, I mean, whatever. I just, the idea that, like, like you put, like, Bo Jackson in somebody's living room and you're telling me that, like, he wouldn't be able to impress a high school kid. Like, get out of here.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
So I want to be clear about what we're about to talk about. We're going to talk about Florida State's reaction. And here's one thing I want to say. Florida State had, their fan base had a pathetic, immature, crappy, embarrassing meltdown yesterday. And there's not a fan base in the country that wouldn't have done the exact same damn thing. Because we're going to laugh at Florida State. We're going to point at them. We're going to say, ha, ha, ha. But A&M, Mississippi State, North Carolina, Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, every single fan base would have done the exact same thing, because we get so passionate about this stuff. We get so personal about this stuff. We get so wrapped up in this stuff that we don't stop and think, oh, I'm actually a rational adult. I'm not going to burn Deion Sanders' jersey today. I'm not going to cuss out an 18-year-old kid because he chose to put on somebody else's shirt. But that being said, that display by Florida State fans yesterday was incredible.
We've all had run-ins with Florida State Twitter too, by the way. I mean, I know that, like, Katie most recently did. I did a few years ago with the Kendall Briles stuff. Like, we know that, like, Florida State Twitter is a thing. Like, you know, FSU Twitter has been a trending thing for a while. Boy, was it embarrassing. And I know Twitter Spaces, like, has been around. I'd never used it, but yesterday when I was, you know, just on there, just trolling, and I'm looking, and I saw that Dan was in one, and I clicked on it and saw 8,000 people were on one called Fire Mike Norvell. I was like, oh boy, this is going to be good. And I literally put it on my, like, Bose home speaker and just was, like, doing other stuff in my apartment, listening to it and just laughing my ass off. Like, I could not believe the meltdown. And I understand, and you're right, Brandon, A lot of schools would do this. For some reason, it was funnier that it was Florida State.
No, that's not my take. My take is every school would do it.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. No, no, no. I'm saying every, no, I'm saying we would all, every school would do it. I think it was funnier because it was Florida State. I personally do. Just because I've had run-ins with Florida State Twitter, I think Arkansas Twitter would have been really funny. Obviously, Texas Twitter. Oh, no. Any of the beefs that we've had.
Listen, if we're just ranking the Twitters that would have been funniest yesterday, Florida State's up there, but Tennessee Twitter would have been magnificent.
Oh, my God. You're right.
Tennessee Twitter, I think Travis Hunter would have needed some sort of police protection.
I'm not sure he doesn't right now with the way that Florida – I mean, these people weren't even mad at Travis Hunter. Like you mentioned – like they were burning Deion's jersey. They were. I saw a tweet that was literally like had like the knife, like you stabbed us in the back, Deion, like you're never welcome here. And it's like, bro, what are you talking about? Like he's doing his job. Like what? Like Florida State yesterday, dumpster fire, so fucking entertaining.
You know what's amazing? They signed the number 13 class in the country yesterday. They signed a good class.
Yeah, but you know what, Brandon? It's kind of like, you know, in like the dating world, it's like you think that you've got the hottest girl in the room and like that, and the hottest girl in the room is for sure yours and is for a long time been yours. And then all of a sudden she flips to a guy that's much less attractive than you that in reality or on paper, much less attractive just from a status standpoint. And you're like, all right, well, I've got my pick of not the hottest girl in the room now. Like that's a tough scene.
I guess it is.
Like if he was like the number 5 recruit in the country, yeah. If he was the number, like even maybe number, like, I don't know, like 3, 4, like they would still be mad. It's the number one recruit in the country. That's where it stings the most for sure.
I mean, I was doing the Brandon Walker College Football Show yesterday and Katie went to Florida State message boards and got like pictures of message board posts. And listen, message board posters are the most irrational amongst all of us. But some of them were just like, some posts were like, I hope Travis Hunter gets hurt. Take Deion's name off the Ring of Honor, unretire his jersey. Like, yeah, that's the answer. What you want to do is, because the guy's gone with a former Florida State player, make the Florida State player, the old Florida State player, embarrass him more, make him look worse. And guess what's going to happen? More high school players are going to gravitate towards him.
I mean, the fact that like you said, anybody who gets mad at kids is ridiculous. You're going to now be mad at one of the greatest athletes of all time because he stole one of your recruits because your coach wasn't good enough and your program wasn't good enough to keep him. Get the fuck out of here. That's a you problem. That's not a Deion problem.
I would be so mad at him.
Like he, you know, here's the thing. It's like, yes, you would, like, first of all, you wouldn't be like, take him out of the Ring of Honor. You wouldn't be like, let's burn his jersey. I hope.
I wouldn't burn his jersey because I would just sell it to somebody else. But I'm an irrational piece of shit.
I'm an irrational piece of shit too, but there's that element of that he could have been hired there. So like, you know, obviously Deion, completely different caliber of athlete than like Johnny Manziel. But let's just say this happened to A&M and Johnny Manziel wanted to be, you know, down the line, had a really, really good NFL career, wanted to be A&M's head coach. They said no. And they were like, you know, you don't have the experience. You're not going to get anybody. He then goes to a way smaller school and steals a kid. Like, I'd be like, shit, that sucks. But A&M, you could have hired Johnny Manziel. You could have hired our legendary player. That's on Florida State, not on Deion.
It's weird, though, because I think they made the right decision not hiring him then. Like, you can't hire a guy off the street with no experience, but it did come back to bite him. Like, it's like one of those, it's almost like Russian roulette, and they just landed on the bullet.
Mm-hmm. Not only that, they the fact that they signed an extension for him the day before, that was like the one like the reoccurring theme on that Twitter space yesterday that just like they would just mention, like, and the people that were actually legitimately like in tears. I mean, it was incredible. And Dan getting on there and trolling them, like talking about, you know, when he was playing Coach Duggs in the pandemic, like the whole thing was just a stunning display of entertainment.
It was something. It's just one of those things. You know how somebody tweeted once, every day on Twitter, there's a main player and you need to do everything you can to make sure you're not the main player. I feel like every day on signing day, every year on signing day, there's a main character, there's a main story. And frankly, you should probably do your best to not be that main story because it's rarely good. But yesterday, the main story was for Florida State, it was bad. For Deion, it was incredible.
So I will say that I, you know, and not, I hate ESPN. We all know that. No credit to ESPN, but I went over to just, I wanted to see how they ranked the headlines on the, you know, in the college football page. And it made me so happy. The number one was Texas A&M slides past Alabama for the number one recruiting class. Number two, Deion Sanders steals Travis Hunter. And then number three was like, you know, what's going to happen now in February? It's like, it, like those were the three. And I was just like, oh, like, this is great. Like, this is wonderful. Like, I even screenshot the top two. I was like, oh my God, for 1 second, my life in college football is good. My team is number one. And my co-host and friend just shocked the world.
Now there's also an element of Florida State fans who are convinced, you know, they're convinced the bad guy is?
Well, other than Deion?
Other than Deion, yes.
Oh, Barstool Sports.
Us.
Great.
I love that they keep they have come up with this narrative that we paid Travis Hunter $1.5 million. There's this huge deal. It's going to be a documentary. We're footing the bill for everything. And not one of them has sat back and thought, that doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense at all.
Well, and also, like, one of the biggest things we talked about with the NIL agreements when it was passed was that they can't be involved with anything gambling. Like, they, like, Penn National owns most of us. Like, what, crazy people. But my favorite thing, and I, you know, you get suckered in. I really, really look now. But the fake, I think it was Adam Schefter that it was like, pardon my memes, that was like, oh, you know, Barstool Sports.
That was our guy.
Yeah, I know. But that's what I'm saying. It's like that, that people actually took that into consideration as real. Yeah. And then you see like people actually reporting, like there was some guy that was like, Barstool Sports paid him $2 million. It's like, where did that number come from? That number hasn't come from us. And then, you know, Dan and PFT underneath are being like, actually it's 50. It's like, these people are like losing their mind over it. That we've got, what was the show that was it? Pardon the interruption. That some
Around the Horn, Kevin Blackstone.
Oh yeah. And he was just like crying about how the fact that Deion is a content creator at Barstool Sports. It's like, shut the fuck up, like grow up.
I just want him to think for a second. If Dave Portnoy decided to get in the NIL game for college football to the point where he's affecting not top recruits, or he's affecting the biggest recruits in the country, then I'm assuming Michigan would have the number one class in the country.
Yeah. Like, not like if he was, if Dave was jumping in, or Barstool was jumping in, like, of course, you know, Deion would be a part of that because, you know, Deion works for us, but Michigan would have had a hell of a day. And I mean, they always kind of have a hell of a day, but Wisconsin would have had one hell of a day. Like, there would have been a lot of different things, but I do think it was funny that yesterday we saw, like, and Dana jumped in and people were like, oh my God, can you believe like this? I can't wait for the 30-30 on Deion Sanders. And Dana was like, hello, like, we've been doing this, like, wait for, you know, season two of the documentary. Like, Deion has now taken not only himself to a different level, the both people that love us and hate us now have to pay way more attention to us because of that.
All right, so that's enough on Deion and his totally terrific, magnificent day. I guess we transition now into some transfer news, some things that are going on around the world. I guess just I want to stop and talk about one coach. This is not related to signing day, not related to transfers. There's this movement now that he's unemployed, that somehow Urban Meyer is unhireable in college because of what he's done. Jacksonville, he kind of embarrassed himself. He kicked somebody, whatever. It just all fell apart in rapid succession after that thumb up the butt picture a couple weeks ago. I still maintain he'll be the, I think he'll be I think he'll be incredibly sought after next coaching carousel. Is that crazy?
No, I think that 90% of colleges would hire Urban Meyer tomorrow if they had an opening. I of college, obviously.
If he wants to coach in college football, and what would that be? 2023, he'll coach in college football in 2023. He'll find somebody like that. Like, who's going to, like, I even think there's a possibility, I tweeted as a joke, but like Ryan Day, there is some rumors that he's going to get hired by the Bears if they fire Nagy. Like, you, if you think Ohio State's not like, hey, let's just run it back. I mean, I think you're a little crazy.
Yeah.
Katie, what were you going to say?
My thing with the kicking the player, if that whole thing is true, is going on that, like, Do you think, I feel like that's going to make, and I get it, if you win, everything else goes out the window, but do you think that's going to be, I think that's a much bigger issue than like the Ohio bar thing, like physically laying hands on a grown man versus a college kid.
The biggest thing I think is like he covered up abuse his ex like coach because he was the grandson of a famous coach. Like I think that's a bigger deal.
He got a job after that.
Yeah. And look, you know, what happened at Florida, like all the players that he had on that team.
Also, he kicked Jeff Lambeau. He like kind of kicked him in the back, like of the leg. Like we need to grow up. Like coaches like do much worse stuff than that. Like was like, if anyone actually cares about that, you have to reevaluate your life because like.
Oh, I disagree with that. I mean, you can't have a head coach kicking.
He kicked him in the back of the leg. Like when he was like stretching.
That's like what kids do when you're like walking up in a classroom and you're mad at your friend.
He kicked him in a fit of anger. He was like fucking with him.
Yeah.
He was like, I mean, it didn't sound like Josh Lambeau thought he was fucking with him.
Yeah, because he's a pussy.
Urban, if that was a single incident this season where we hadn't heard any other complaints about Urban Meyer in Jacksonville, I might agree with you. But every single week, literally since week two, when he put out that motivational poster, we've been hearing there's problems with Urban Meyer. Apparently, he apparently called his entire coaching room like losers. Like, and now he adamantly disagrees with all of it. But like, there is a reason that this Josh Lambeau story came out. I mean, he was released in like week four. Like he's been, this has been gone. So like, there's a reason that it came out the way that it did. And like, if Urban Meyer actually said to him, I'm the head coach, I'll kick you whenever the fuck I want in a joking tone or serious tone or whatever, like Urban Meyer, these are not college kids that have to fucking listen to you. That was my biggest takeaway. They're professional athletes.
I kind of disagree with that too. Like it was warmups. He was just dicking around. I think guys just dick around like that. I don't think that's a big deal. The bigger deal are the other stuff. Like, you know, the thing he said to his coaches, I think that's a big deal. Certainly being pictured with your hand up somebody's butt's a bigger deal. Like the Lambeau thing is whatever. I think that's just what we're finding out now is just every possible story that can paint him in a bad light's being put out there, including the Lambeau story. And it's just like, that one doesn't register to me. The other ones kind of do. But when a guy goes down in flames, everybody throws something on the fire.
Well, I think that there might have been, I think that's why Josh Lambeau's, like his story came out when it did, is because I think Jacksonville was so desperately looking for something to finally be able to fire him. And they knew if they put that story out, that it would outrage people. Like, do I think it's that big of a deal? No. Do I think he should be doing it? Absolutely fucking not. But like, I think that like the chain of events is very suspect when you look at the timeline. It's like, they released this Josh Lambeau story and he comes out talking about, oh, you know, it was the 5 out of 10 of a kick and all this. And then like 6 hours later, the guy is fired. There's a reason that story came out yesterday. And that's calculated, I believe, by the Jacksonville front office.
Well, I could ask. By the way, we're going to get our guest. Can we do our guest Wednesday? Or is Wednesday a good day for you?
This upcoming Wednesday?
Yeah.
What guest?
Don't say it on the air, but the one that we got the email about. Did you not see it, Jack?
What's today?
Today is Thursday.
Oh. Bingo two got it.
Huh?
I will be traveling next Wednesday, but whatever he can do, you do it. Because he's...
Yeah.
Yeah, he is yours.
What? What?
Check the text.
Email. Did you not get it?
No, only you two got that email.
But it's on the text. We texted about it.
It's on the text chain.
I know. I'm talking about the email.
I know, but I'm telling Jack to check the text chain.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Can I cut? Could I like, I mean, I don't have to talk. I'll be there with you.
Me and you'll do it.
Yeah, I cannot do it on Wednesday. I will be traveling.
This is an awesome guest, guys.
It's huge. And when I got the email, I immediately got the little kid grin for Brandon Walker. I was like, he is going to be so happy about this. So no, you go ahead and do whatever time he can do.
All right. So we'll do that. That'll be our second show next week, probably our Christmas show. All right. So where else are we going to go? Okay. You know who 2022 is going to be a giant year for? and he's starting to put his foot in his mouth a little bit more, a little bit more, a little
Lane
bit more.
Lane Kiffin.
No.
Brian Kelly.
No. Oh, okay.
Lincoln Riley.
No, fuck. Come Ooh. On. We're close. Everybody take another stab at it.
Dan Lanning.
No.
Steve Sarkisian.
No. No, I'm not telling you. I'm not telling
Dabo
you.
Sweeney. Dabo Sweeney. Dabo. Dabo. I forgot.
It's Dabo. Yes. Dabo is about to go into war without his trusted lieutenants for the first time. He lost his offensive coordinator. He lost his defensive coordinator. And now as the world changes, when the world changes like this, it exposes the dinosaurs. It exposes the people who have the most to lose, right? And as the transfer portal is popping off, as the NIL money is getting, is evening things out, Dabo's just sitting there like a guy in the rain without an umbrella saying, this ain't how it's supposed to be. This is not how it's supposed to be. And he's just saying transfers should still have to sit a year. And he's proven to be a dinosaur who kind of rose to power in the old system. And I'm not sure he's ready for the new system.
Well, he's like clearly saying he's not. He's like crying publicly about it. And again, like, let's be honest here. I mean, like, come on, Dabo, you've not been cheating the past few years to get these players, like, get out of here. But I mean, listen, I have always defended Dabo when it comes, like, I think that he's just like a, you know, a quirky, I don't know, whatever word. I'm like, it's lame, a lot of things, but I think the players really like him. But all of these quotes that are coming out right now, it's like, dude, you got to change with the times. And that's something that, it, you know, Nick Saban does. Like, Nick Saban has been able to evolve, which is why he's the greatest of all time in college. And you look at the pros, Bill Belichick has been able to evolve. That's why. If you can't evolve with the sport, you are going to be left behind. And I think that that's what we're seeing with Dabo. And the fact that he's publicly doing it when we all know that Clemson's been cheating just like every other major program in the country has been for years is ridiculous.
Well, I jokingly tweeted when Spencer Rattler went to South Carolina, who, by the way, we haven't mentioned yet, on what was that, Tuesday night? I tweeted out jokingly from the Unnecessary Roughness account, like, Dabo was in shambles. He's saying college football is ruined forever. And a lot of Clemson fans got so mad at that tweet. They were like tweeting. I think they were tweeting at you guys, like, it's time to unfollow this account. I should have done this a long time ago. How could you misquote somebody? It was obviously a joke. Less than 24 hours later, he literally had like a quote, like the exact quote that I fake quoted. Like it was truly like Dabo was in shambles. And it was that predictive that he was going to be like, college football is ruined forever, man. It really is.
Now, we're going to get to the transfer portal stuff. Quinn Ewers, Dylan Gabriel, Spencer Rattler. We're going to get to that in a second. If you guys will permit me, can I just do a rare non-season shit list? Can I just add a shit list here? Can I do a shit list?
Technically still the season, so sure.
Yeah, but we usually don't do it after the season. This is out of ordinary, but I just want to add a shit list, and it might be my biggest shit list for the season.
Wow. Oh boy.
That's going to come in handy in a second.
So for people who are listening, not watching on YouTube, which you should be watching on YouTube, go subscribe, right, Jack? Go subscribe right now. Brandon just reached behind him and grabbed a cowbell and set it down next to him.
This was tweeted by a former national title winning coach on December 14th, 2021. And it says this. Every scholarship offensive lineman at Texas will get $50,000 a year with a new NIL deal. Not to mention the $200,000 education. Americans struggle finding $50,000 jobs to feed their children. Next, it'll be $100,000 a player with no end in sight. Flawed system! Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. Most money wins! Exclamation point. Hashtag words of chisdom. This, of course, was tweeted by national title stealing coach Gene Chizik. The only reason Gene Chizik ever won an important game in his life is because that stupid, brain dead, awful motherfucker ponied up the money to get a generational quarterback. Without the money going to Cecil Newton's church to get Cam Newton, Gene Chizik is a fucking pimple on the ass of college football. What the fuck are we doing What are we doing? Gene Chizik is out here saying you shouldn't be paying players money. The only reason we know the name Gene Chizik is because of the cash registers that Bobby Lauder and Auburn came up with to say, here, you suck as a coach. We're going to buy a quarterback so you can win something. And he got lucky. He won a national title. As soon as the cash register leaves, boom, Chizik sucks again. Fuck him. What are you talking about? Gene Chizik is the guy saying this? Gene Chizik. Gene Chizik is saying this. But if you put one coach's face on dollar bills to say this is the only reason they ever won a game, it's Gene Chizik. Are you kidding? Auburn fans hated the second he was hired. They showed up at the airport and booed him, and then he won a national title because of their money. Gene Chizik!
I'll be honest. I knew that's where you were going. I did not know it was going to go that deep.
How, if you're thinking of we tweet things, right? And we know sometimes there's things we want to say, but we can't say because, like, we're being hypocritical. We're human beings. Like, it's like we can't say certain things because we know it's going to look stupid on the internet. Gene Chizik, like, that's almost like you walked into the ring with, like, Conor McGregor or Francis Ngannou or one of the, like any great boxer, Mike Tyson, and you just threw a punch and put your chin out there for them to return with the hardest knockout punch in the history of the world. I can't believe it.
Imagine Bobby Petrino tweeting out that all coaches need to be more cognizant of motorcycle safety. Imagine Urban Meyer saying coaches need to make sure they monitor all their text messages. And then you hear Gene Chizik saying you shouldn't pay these players money. Ah!
I mean, I remember when I first saw the tweet thinking, like, I wish I was with you in that moment, because we've talked about this plenty of times before. It is so well known, whether you're a big college football fan or not, it is so well known that Cam Newton was paid to go to Auburn. Like, you don't have to be, you don't even have to follow college sports. Like, everyone knows that. Like, I have friends in Massachusetts who know people who helped pay Cam Newton. But I will say, just in case Gene Chizik is listening to this, thank you for being very nice to me when I worked with you at ESPN.
Oh, poof. No, that guy's an idiot. I don't want that guy listening to this. I don't want him being nice to you. I don't want you talking to him. Don't talk to Gene Chizik.
I don't talk to him, but I'm saying, like, I have a feeling, because I will tell you, not only do I think that's the best shit list you've had all year, I would rank that, like, that rant will absolutely be in our best of the 4th of July, Jack. I mean, we know that. I'm going to put that rant and how passionate that was, like, in the top 10 of this podcast ever. So I assume that it will be going out on social media for good reason. So I just want it on record that while I completely agree with how hypocritical and ridiculous and stupid that tweet was, Gene Chizik was always very nice to me when I worked with him.
Brandon's head's about to explode.
It was a ridiculously fucking stupid tweet, because Cam Newton got paid to go to Auburn, and Gene Chizik. Gene Chizik said it, but I just do want to say,
it's like Sam Pittman tweeting out, you know what, coaches need to watch their cholesterol level. It just doesn't work.
Didn't deserve that. Uncalled for. Like, the Sam Pittman, like, you got the point across with the Urban Meyer, Bobby Petrino. And then
Sam Pittman didn't deserve that.
Guys, I can't control the Brandon Walker. When the Brandon Walker gets going, it has to come out.
That's fair. Yeah, you know what?
I mean, that is, Katie, can you please tweet that exact quote from Unnecessary Roughness right now to preview this? When the Brandon Walker comes out, I can't control the Brandon Walker. When the Brandon Walker comes out, the Brandon Walker comes out. That is the most Thomas Brandon Walker quote I have ever heard in my entire life.
I swear y'all could leave right now and I could sit here talking to this computer about Gene Chizik for the next 2 hours.
I honestly, like, I you know, I, people sometimes will, like, accuse not just us, but, like, Barcel in general of, like, fake laughter or whatever. Like, and I've gotten accused of it on this podcast with you. Like, whenever your mom called in and said that you came out of her pussy. Sorry, I forgot you're at home.
I didn't say that. I said vagina, but whatever.
No, your mom said it.
Oh, did she? Oh, okay. Gross. God. You know, she'll be here next week. She's coming. She's coming.
Oh, I love your mom. But like that clip, people were like, oh, I mean, it was funny, but it wasn't that funny. That was fake laughter. The laughter that I just had with what you did was like deep into my abs. I really appreciated that. I needed that. That was a dopamine hit that I truly needed today, Brandon.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
I appreciate it.
All right. God almighty, Jesus. I think there's three transfers to talk about. And I want to talk about a coach that is proving me wrong. Listen, I joke about Pittman, but Pittman has previously proved me wrong. I've come clean on that before. And I think there's another guy, and this guy is at South Carolina. When South Carolina hired Shane Beamer, y'all know I didn't hold back. I never hold back. I gave it to him. I thought it was a bad hire. I thought it was a stupid hire. I went on and on about how it was the worst hire of the offseason. And then he goes out, and with a roster that is not talented, with a roster that's out-talented in the SEC by most teams, he finished 6-6. That includes beating Florida, beating Auburn. Had a good year, and now he gets 15 extra bowl practices. He's got a lot of momentum. You're starting to see a lot of viral tweets about him out of South Carolina. Shane Beamer has done a good job and has shown that he is a good coach and probably the right coach for that job, and that is tremendous. And he continues that momentum by going back to Oklahoma, where he came from, getting Austin Stogner and quarterback Spencer Rattler. I have a three-pronged reaction to this, okay?
Okay.
It's zig, zag, zig. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Zig.
The zig is what a huge shot in the arm for South Carolina to go get a quarterback as raw talented as Spencer Rattler, a five-star coming out of high school. And this is showing, hey, we're not the South Carolina of old. We're going to go out there and we're going to make a bold move. We're going to go get a guy. We're going to bring him in, and he's going to be the future of our program. That's the zig. Great move by Shane Beamer. You got to do it. The zag, he might not be very good. If you can't succeed at Oklahoma with Oklahoma talent around you against Big 12 competition, you might not be able to succeed long-term in the SEC. He was bad this year. There's no way around it. Spencer Rattler was bad, and Oklahoma was very disappointing. If he had been good, he never would have gotten replaced by Caleb Williams. We're going to zig again, okay?
Zig was
great move. Zag was he might not be very good. The third zig, we're going back, and it is, but he's still young. We act like these players can't evolve, can't get better. We watch these players that they're highly touted. They come in, they struggle in their first or second year and say, oh, yeah, he sucks. He's still got 2, maybe 3 years of college football to play ahead of him. He could turn into exactly what people thought he was going to be.
I agree with all with your zig, your zag, and your zig. I think it's huge for the program. Spencer Rattler, I mean, I said he was one of my Heisman favorites last year. So incredible
everybody's
job. Zag, if you not only all the things you mentioned, you also had Lincoln Riley, who has been like a quarterback machine at Oklahoma, and you get benched. Zig, my point, and I know he transferred and it ended up being, you know, a completely different system. Look what happened with Joe Burrow. I mean, Joe Burrow is a great example of not being able to succeed at Ohio State, transfers to LSU, gets in the right program, and has the best season of all time. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, South Carolina and Spencer Rattler are going to follow necessarily in that same exact form, but we've seen it happen before where the guy just wasn't in the right spot.
I'm not sure he was that bad this year. Like, how many interceptions do you think Spencer Rattler threw this year?
Well, before we get to that, I want to commend Casey's point. I think the best example of what we're talking about is Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow at LSU his first year was just – he was fine. He was okay, whatever. And then he turned into the best quarterback in college football history. It can happen. I don't know, 5?
He threw 1 this year, I'm pretty sure. And then also last year he was a top 10 QBR quarterback. This year he was top 50. He definitely fell off without a doubt. I still think he has a lot of talent. I think his biggest thing will be attitude. People have said it who watched QB1. People have said it who, like, there was rumors in the Oklahoma locker room this year on Twitter and whatnot that he wasn't the best. But I will say, someone with a really bad attitude would not have shown up in pads for every Oklahoma game for the rest of the season and would have made a scene and pouted. He didn't. He showed up every game. He was a backup. And I don't know if Brandon has solved his Rubik's Cube yet, but he's close to it. I will say, to segue, it will be a Rubik's Cube for Spencer Rattler against SEC defenses and whatnot.
There you go, Jack.
But I think, like Shane Beamer, shout out to him. And I think I'm excited for Spencer Rattler. I think he's going to be pretty good. But then again, I thought he was going to be awesome this year, and he's like, he definitely stunk relative to what he should have been. So
we'll see. I'll double down on what you said too about his attitude. I don't know what he was like in the locker room, but the biggest example that I can have is when the OU fans were chanting, you know, "We want Caleb." And then he was asked after the game about how he felt about that. And he gave like an incredibly professional, just level-headed answer. If he has a really bad attitude and he's able to like fire off really quick, I'm sure he felt like he wanted to say something, but like in those moments of passion, I mean, think about the shit that even me and Brandon have said to each other when we get mad. Like, he was humiliated on national TV by his own fan base, and he was still able to keep his composure. Like, that's amazing. He's gonna be fine.
And I think the main, like, that attitude stuff comes from QB1, and he was in high school. We were all shitheads in high school. So, like, he may have, like, just matured, which is good for him.
Brandon's still a shithead.
I wasn't a shithead in high school.
You still are.
Yeah.
Great drop in, Katie. Just, yeah. So I said a word in 5 minutes. Just, okay. Okay, whatever. I lost it. I lost it. I got to get it back.
As someone who has to play South Carolina in a month, or less than, I'm not looking forward to it whatsoever. I'm genuinely scared.
They're not that talented this year. I think y'all are going to kill them this year, but they're turning it around. They're getting to where they need to be.
Wait a minute.
What?
Katie still hasn't paid her dues for the Orange Bowl last year.
I know.
Whose side are you on?
Well, I'm 99% on your side. But the thing is you lost to
your Christmas present just got donated.
No. Time. Only, Katie, only because it was against A&M. I would never have brought it up if it wasn't against A&M.
So the event that she was supposed to watch last year was the Royal Rumble. The Royal Rumble happens in January. Well, what's next month? So she will have to pay. She will have – no, you have to come to my house.
Fine. Actually, I like, can Caitlin come? No, she'll probably be on her own place.
No, she lives here right now because, my God, she's only had 6 months to find her own place. Doesn't matter.
Okay.
Be nice to your sister.
I am not. I gave her a place. Okay. So, second transfer. Smith, you scared of Quinn Ewers yet?
No. Because I think that, I mean, obviously he's a guy that we've all been talking about forever, and he, you know, all the money and everything. I believe, and maybe I'm a delusional fan. I know I'm a delusional fan. I believe that if Jimbo really wanted to go get him, he could, because the rumors are that Texas had to up their payment to keep him from going to Texas Tech. So I believe that Connor Wigman or Haynes King or whoever it's going to be, I believe that Jimbo believes they're better.
Maybe. But it is crazy how just any little thing that happens will just fire Texas fans up to the point they're back. Like the other day, Quinn Ewers decides he's transferring to Texas, and I'm immediately getting tweets from Texas fans. Oh, y'all going to talk about it? Y'all going to talk about this? Y'all going to talk about how we're back now? Relax. You've had the number three, the number seven class over the last 3 years, and you completely suck this year. So you've had the players. You still don't have the culture, the mindset, everything else. But you do have Sarkisian. He is a good quarterback coach. So it's interesting. It's really interesting. I kind of wish he would have gone to Texas Tech because I think that's more interesting, just a gunslinger at Texas Tech. But, you know, we'll see. Texas with Quinn Ewers is a hell of a lot more interesting than Texas without him.
Definitely. And I mean, here we go. Credit to them. Like, it's a huge get for them. There's no doubt about that. I mean, we obviously don't know how good he is. We know what he's projected to be. So good for Texas fans for getting Quinn Ewers. But, and again, I I think that, you know, he could potentially be very, very dangerous. And with Texas going into the SEC, sure, I might be like, oh, well, that's, you know, I'd rather them not have Quinn Ewers. But I still think that what A&M has and what Jimbo knows he has is better, or he would have gone after Quinn Ewers.
Can we just talk about how Ohio State just got completely used in this deal and nobody really talking about it?
Completely used. Like, just swindled.
Quinn Ewers might have just sent them a letter and said, hey, guys, I'm going to come spend the night at y'all's house for about 3 months and just get a check. Don't worry about me. I'll be out soon. I don't even know if he unpacked his bag there. He went and got $1.4 million from their local businesses and skedaddled right back to where he wanted to play in the first place.
Do you think he did, like, he knew that that was going to be his decision going into the season?
Or
do you
think I believe he probably thought he was going to be the future of Ohio State football. And when CJ Stroud took the job and ran with it, it just decided, you know what, I'll just go to path of least resistance, which is smart. That's the way quarterbacks should do from now on. You shouldn't stay somewhere you're not playing. People act like, oh, you got to be loyal. Oh, you got to compete. You got to do that. No, go where there's a job.
Well, and that's, I mean, because that's what coaches do. But also, I think that, like, if you were, you know, when Quinn Ewers was making his decision, you looked at where Ohio State was versus where Texas was. It's like he probably thought, like, okay, I could go win the job at Ohio State and potentially win a national title versus Texas has not been back since Mac was there.
Yeah. And then just today, Dylan Gabriel from UCF to UCLA. I love that. I love Chip Kelly getting a quarterback because they've been okay last couple of years, but DTR has had plenty of opportunities and just hasn't become that guy. Gabriel out west, I kind of like that a lot. What else do we have that we haven't talked about? Anything?
Tom Brady now has an NIL deal.
I don't care. Why?
I mean, I'm just saying I have 4 years of eligibility left, technically. I'm going to go back to college. You can't tell. I mean, yes, I know. I'm going to work Tom Brady. And by the way, one of the best photos he's ever taken of all time for that ad campaign. But Tom Brady being in the NIL game, I mean, that's going to start making waves too. I mean, you're going to tell me college quarterbacks don't want to sign with Tom Brady?
Yeah, it's interesting to see where the college quarterback game goes with this new money and this new transfer thing and everything. It's truly going to be a hired gun thing, and I don't think there's nothing wrong with it, but whatever.
There's nothing wrong with it, but if you've got the greatest of all time coming in, you'd be like, hey, like, you can be a part of my NIL deal. Pretty good.
All right. Well, I think that's a good place to leave it off. I think that's a good place to go ahead and end it. We talked about signing day, the transfer portal. The transfer portal is going to give us plenty to talk about over the next few weeks. Like, this is – there's no longer a slow period. And next week, the bowls start tomorrow, but the good bowls will start very, very soon. Anyway.
Saturday, though, Jackson State.
Celebration Bowl, yep. So we got all that and everything else. That's Unnecessary Roughness.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I had a charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink? This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera. Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.